Yeah, the difference was that streaming is what's happening right there and then, and it's happening in real time. So, you know, you're going along with them, depending on how much time you can spare.
Yeah.
Hello again. It is Pod4 Creative, the second episode where we talk about the world of streaming. It is your host, Shona Wong, and I have co-host with me, Sean Flett.
Howdy.
And yeah, we're going to talk about the world of streaming and how it's become a new source of marketing, a new way, a new revenue to market, and how it's built communities. We're going to talk about streaming versus edited videos, the goods and bads, and we're just going to dive right in. What streams do you enjoy, Sean?
The streams I think I really enjoy watching are generally people. I enjoy their personalities. Like, personality is kind of the big thing for me. I've tried watching a couple of people who are very good at certain things. Like, I used to be into, a lot of the streams I watch are gaming orientated.
Yeah.
Most of them, though, before it was a lot of League of Legends streamers, because I was big into League a couple of years back.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I watched some of them. Most of those streamers, though, who were, like, competing at the top level, they weren't necessarily the showmen, though. So you'd watch their stream and it just wouldn't be that interesting.
Mm.
So I normally find myself leaning a lot more towards, like, the more, not necessarily charismatic. I don't think you need to be charismatic, but I think you need to at least be focused on entertaining. I'm a weird person who doesn't always enjoy people who are super charismatic, but
I guess it depends on different people's preferences.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed a stream sometimes just to be a part of a community. I kind of just went on a stream the other week, and it was a giveaway for Animal Crossing, and I don't know, there was a satisfaction of just being able to be part of it, and everyone was so supportive. There was a giveaway, so you want to stay on in case you won anything.
Yeah.
Then,
how many people were watching?
Yeah.
Was it like a big
people?
One?
It was a very small one. It was like 20 or 30 people, but since then she's grown quite a bit, so now she has like 100 people watching, but
yeah.
I don't know, it just felt like a small hangout, and everyone was all over the world, and
yeah.
You know, and then when you type your like comment in whatever the chat, you know, it just felt like, you know, she took the streamer like communicates with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're noticed by them, and it feels like you're part of the whole hangout. So it makes you feel connected, but still at the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, I haven't really interacted with like smaller streams. I normally aim to kind of find bigger streams to engage with, but again, you don't normally see a lot of engaged, like you can't talk directly to the streamer at that point.
Mm.
Do you still watch that person's content? I'm kind of curious.
I don't watch many streams all the time. I tend to watch more videos, but with streams, every so often I check out her stream and see what she's up to. It's just sometimes, I guess for me, like, it's a live thing, you know? So you kind of have to be on at a particular time, and sometimes my times don't match up, being that some streamers have different time zones.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things which kind of killed my engagement with live streaming is just the time factor. Yeah. Like, a lot of my favorite streamers are just in the US and they only stream as I'm going to bed or as I'm waking up. And that kind of makes it really difficult. I wish there was more Australian streamers that I knew that I could kind of enjoy.
Oh, the streamer I watch was Australian, but she was in Melbourne, so she's 3 hours ahead.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Like, it was still interesting regardless, and you still feel part of a community.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, my friend Tim, he watches a lot of Brown Man. Is that what his name is?
Yeah.
Brown Man. And a lot of Rooster Teeth. He watched... Oh, he was so dedicated to watching the 24-hour charity stream.
Yeah. I caught glimpses of the charity stream.
Because it was just fun. For him, it was just fun. Yeah. But also, I think in his perspective, he got to connect with the community, but also, like, enjoy the personality of the streamer and what they put out, but not really, like, get to know the streamer personally, just see that side of them to get enough enjoyment out of that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it's important, like, when you are viewing a stream, to understand that you are really only seeing a side of them. You are only seeing, like, the public face they kind of put out there. It's, I guess, the same as, like, anybody. Like, yeah. You don't expect to have a personal relationship with your, like, local news anchor just because you watch the 7:30 news. And I guess that's kind of the same with live streaming, just because you're watching them for a couple of hours, like, I guess a couple of days a week, you know, doesn't mean that you're somehow more connected with them.
Yeah, that's the thing, I guess. That's, you know, it's parasocial relationships.
Yeah.
I think for us, we're not... I mean, I can't relate to those fans, but I think I can try to understand that they're like super fans of a streamer in a way. And
yeah,
being a super fan, you'll always like want to know what time they're on and everything. But and I don't know, I guess I can't understand that obsession, but or that very tight support. Like, maybe for me, I'm not too obsessed with the people I follow. And I don't know if I would donate to them to that point. I mean, I guess it depends. Like, for some people, it serves them a lot of entertainment. Like, my friend sometimes donates small amounts of money to their streamer because they think they want to, like, support them genuinely. And some people, it can get a bit scary that they want to donate to the point of, you know, buying their friendship.
Yeah, I think, like, I've considered donating to a lot of content creators in the past, not just, like, live streamers, but, like, YouTubers as well, because...
like, Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon is kind of starting to become this thing of, like, that is kind of becoming their most stable form of income. So, like, I don't mind the idea of supporting the content creators that you enjoy, like, to make sure that they can keep doing what, I guess, you consume for free. But, like, when it starts becoming detriment to people as individuals, like, you're, I guess, donating a massive amount
of... Exclusive, excessive.
Yeah, when you're donating that much money, it becomes a thing of, is this healthy? I think there's a lot of, like...
That's true.
Like, mental health issues in regards to that, which is a bit dangerous.
Because what are they meant to do? They're kind of put in a position where you're like, oh, they're donating money and I should be grateful. But it's also, how do you tell them? Like, because they're your fans. You don't want to feel arrogant or like, fussy, you know?
Yeah, I think
you want to appeal to the fans because they're your income, but they're also, in a way, it's like the fans, if you pay a lot of money and you try to buy their friendship, you're not entitled to that.
Yeah, I think like any financial exchange, you need to set clear, I guess, ground rules in regards to like, what does this payment get you? What is it, like, what's the expectation on both ends?
Yeah.
People go into a financial transaction and they're like, oh, I'm expecting, you know, friendship out of this. I think that's a very dangerous mentality to have.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, we've talked a lot about the fans. What about our own experience, you know, putting out a stream?
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to get popular unless you do a lot of marketing, a lot of reaching out, collaborations.
Yeah.
You know, streams, it's, if you're not really well known, it's hard to get popular. But like lives, like doing lives and streaming, I mean, they're the same thing. They do have a good, like they do present a feeling of realness in yeah. my opinion. And that's more real than a video would be, because the videos are normally edited. But with a live stream, you can't hide anything.
Yeah.
I feel like you can, unless you're already going on and you're like, I'm going to be this character, and you're acting the whole way through. But most people can't lie about their live stream. So in a way, I can see it as a way for fans to be closer to their idol or their like celebrity.
Yeah.
Fans who really, really, really want to like get close to their idol and all that and see them for their real personality, like feel like they're friends with them. You know, those live streamings can bring people closer.
Yeah.
But I also think that it live streaming, you know, can expose a lot of yourself. So
yeah.
You're going to be willing to...
I mean, it's like any public speaking, right?
Yeah, it's like any public speaking that's just being recorded live. I don't know. I think we could talk about marketing as well. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Marketing of live streaming. Like, live streaming is a scary thing for some people, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, we've discussed before, you put yourself at risk, you know, of embarrassing yourself. Because it's real, you know. You can't edit it out. You yeah. have to...
It is live. Every moment matters.
Yeah, every moment matters. But then it becomes real. People see it for what it is. So people may interact with videos as comments, but there's like a different timeline to that. Whereas with live streaming, it matches. So people can comment and engage directly with you. In terms of marketing, it's a good way to connect with your audience, a good way to build community, and a good way to... just allow people to see you for you, in a way.
Yeah.
You can, like, do Q&A live streams. That's very popular. You can do, like, challenge live streams. Just, like, it's a way to hang out with people.
Yeah.
I saw, like, an interesting comment on YouTube about live streaming, and they were saying, you know, putting on a live stream is like, you know, when you put on the TV, just to feel, like, less lonely because there's background sound.
Yeah.
In a way... streaming and videos, they come back to our humanity's need to be a part of a community and to feel like they're not alone, to feel like they're part of something.
Yeah,
so there's goods and bads about live streaming, but I do think it is beneficial to try, because I can see it being a good avenue to showcase more of yourself and connect with your audience.
I suppose that's something we haven't really discussed yet, because both you and I have actually streamed on Twitch previously.
Yeah.
I've done...
I just wasn't popular.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone is when you start. Like, you have to put the time in to, like, really get it going. Yeah. It's not something that is going to suddenly blow up just because you're doing it. I mean, you need a bit more, I guess, intention with it. I don't think anyone should expect... their first live stream to get massively popular, you know. It's something you have to work on, like, anything in marketing, right? Like...
Yeah. Like, you're not going to get popular straight away.
Because, yeah, I'm kind of curious in regards to your experiences with live streaming. How did, I guess, you feel about live streaming?
As a streamer?
Yeah. How did you feel about kind of putting yourself out there and opening yourself up to... I guess.
It was scary, I guess. But then it was nice when people were watching, but I didn't mind if people weren't watching. At least I was putting myself out there and trying.
I think there's kind of an initial, like, fear that starts off.
Yeah, initial fear.
And then when you get a bit more comfortable with, like, streaming, you just realize, oh, wait, it's just the same as the thing wasn't on, you know, like... there isn't that much of a difference when you really think about it.
Yeah. Like, once you get into it And also, my brother once told me, it's like, once you're just in the zone.
Yeah.
Just in the zone, doing your thing. Like, sometimes people just come into the stream and you don't realize that they're in the chat and they're hanging out.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I kind of don't check my stream often. And then, like, people leave comments and I'm like, oh, wait, that comment was made, like, 2 hours ago. Whoops.
But it's kind of nice in a way. Like, you know, I think when you go on stream, don't come with an intention of wanting to be popular. Like, I know I talked about that before.
Yeah.
But come on just for yourself, like, just to showcase more of yourself. When you, like, do a stream, like, when I was doing a drawing or gaming stream, it's like, I had the intention of, I'm just going to have fun and
yeah,
experience the game. Or, you know, with drawing, it was like the same. Like, I'm just going to draw and I'll just share that.
Yeah. The actual reason I started streaming, I don't know if you ever remember it, but well over a year ago, we got some advice from a mentor to kind of put ourselves a bit more out there and speak a bit more publicly.
Yeah.
So
I think I remember that.
Yeah. So based on that advice, that's actually when I started trying to stream on Twitch. Because I wanted to be a bit more comfortable with putting myself out there and just kind of accepting the fact that, like, I'm not good at everything and I can kind of accept that side of me.
Yeah.
Like, it was more about kind of putting myself out there as opposed to any other expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And that's the thing, you know, when you start things, it's just putting yourself out there or just trying and seeing, like, doing it for yourself rather than being like, I want to be popular. Because people follow content and follow, like, certain streams for personality or for how people do things.
Yeah.
You know, like, I kind of dropped off someone. Like, I saw another Australian streamer.
Yeah.
I saw another Australian streamer, but I wasn't too interested because I wasn't into his personality. However, I kind of continued and followed the streamer that was doing a Animal Crossing giveaway.
Yeah.
Because she was, I found it interesting that I found her personality engaging. I found her really nice. I actually found the community nice. So sometimes it's a community thing too. Like, yeah, if the community is like toxic or like, then you don't really want to be part of that. And sometimes some fans are a little bit overt or a little bit not your kind of crowd.
Yeah.
So, you know, a stream is also in a way a community too, because it's a community of whoever supports them.
Yeah. I think it's kind of good when you are kind of looking at who to kind of watch in regards to a stream, is not just looking at the streamer themselves, but the people kind of around them. Because, yeah, there's plenty of streamers who are pretty earnest, pretty like honest, but then you look at their communities and it's a thing of like, well, all the entire community is kind of very hive-mindy and it just becomes a very uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. Did you end up watching that video, Sean, that I showed you?
Yeah, I actually only recently just got through it. I think it was really interesting to watch through. I think we'll put it in the podcast notes, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's he interviewed different, like, streamers, big and small, but also viewers to get their perspective on what they enjoy about streaming. And it's just really interesting because, I don't know, there's, like, lives and streaming is the same thing.
Yeah.
But there's, like, two different generations around it.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's just my sense. Like, there's Facebook and there's LinkedIn who does lives.
Yeah, obviously this video was a lot more focused around like Twitch and like Twitch, I guess the unique community in there, but like obviously a lot of it can be applied to Facebook. It can be applied to where else actually has live streaming platforms. I'm not 100% sure.
So Instagram has lives.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about TikTok because I don't use TikTok, but I know LinkedIn has a live because I follow Nathaniel Beebe, and he does a live every Monday.
Yeah, he's more business oriented.
Facebook obviously has live, so you can make a live video on Facebook.
Yeah. Is Periscope something different from Facebook Live?
What is Periscope?
I feel like I heard the term, and then I feel like it changed to Facebook Live.
Periscope? You mean Periscope? Periscope?
Yeah.
Scope?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I haven't used Periscope, but I think a friend of mine...
Oh, got acquired by Twitter.
Periscope?
Yeah, the Periscope thing. So I don't know if Twitter has, I guess, a live functionality now.
It's kind of like... But according to recent news, some people have said that Periscope isn't as popular, I guess. Like, Twitch is probably the most popular, and same with just your regular Instagram. Instagram Lives is decently popular as well.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure about, like, raw popularity, because it's a bit hard to, like, measure Facebook and Instagram's metrics on those kinds of things, because they kind of blob all of their, I guess, metrics together.
Mm-hmm.
There's also YouTube. YouTube has live functionalities. I'm sure there's other platforms out there, but like,
yeah,
I think in regards to the video you were talking about, they kind of go over, I guess, just all the complications in regards to just this live streaming thing, and like,
yeah,
I guess all the
like their past like, like they're already past the putting yourself out there part, and it's all the different pros and cons to live streaming.
Yeah.
And what it's like for both perspectives, the streamer and the viewer.
Yeah, both like big streamers and small streamers as well. Yeah. Because I think there was a clear distinction between like small streamers have this community aspect and like the issues in regards to a small community, as well as like big streamers and like the issues they kind of face in regards to, like,
yeah,
I guess, viewership, like, just the weird relationship they have to have with their communities. Yeah,
it's interesting because the video says, you know, for big streamers, it is really just a name in the chat.
Yeah. But you then, have to, you know. Yeah, at some point you have to say, here's the chat. Like, you can't kind of. It's so many people that you literally can't comprehend it at that point. Like, you kind of have to turn into an entity as opposed to trying to even consider the possibility of 10,000 people. Like, our human brains get to a point where we can't, like, process that.
Yeah, true. And then you can't reply to everyone, and that's probably why at some point when you are a big streamer, you do have like a donations thing if you want to get extra attention.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's right.
Well, in regards to Twitch, the reason you have to have donations is like donations normally are outside of Twitch's ecosystem. So like Twitch obviously takes a cut of like subscriptions and follows, but like donations go directly to the live streamer.
I see.
So, like, yeah, it's meant to be the most, I guess, live streamer. Like, again, they get all the revenue from it as opposed to some of it. So, it's meant to be better for them.
Yeah. It's like a direct way to support them. I guess with certain streamers, like, if you're really smart with Twitch... some people get moderators, some people get games, like, I don't know how, but the one that did the Animal Crossing giveaway, she had, like, a particular bot that would randomly choose someone in the audience if they typed in a certain code, like, for hers, it was ! ACNH giveaway, and then if we typed that in the chat, we would be in the running to get a... you know, to be a winner of the giveaway. So
yeah,
If you're really smart around, like, those things, you can.
Well, like, that's the funny thing about it all. Like, live streaming is becoming such a big platform that, like, you don't actually need to be that smart with it. Like, the smart people have made those things to the point where they're now at a consumer level where you can just download them, install them, like, really easily.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is just a sign of the times of streaming becoming, I guess, a mainstream tool for, I guess, communication, if not the most, I guess. I feel like COVID kind of has sealed the deal at this point.
Yeah, COVID's definitely built more. I mean, they were popular before, like streaming is popular before, but COVID kind of boosted that in a way. COVID, because people are lonely and at home, and so they would, you know, I guess it's 2020, so you can still go on the internet.
Yeah.
And so that's like you long for belonging and for community and for people. So going online and going on a stream, you can get that.
Yeah, in a time where majority of the people in the world can't go outside and see their friends, like, live streaming is a very good solution to that right now. And I think the longer, I guess, quarantine lasts, the, I guess, more pervasive, I think, this kind of communication, this kind of, like, platform is going to become.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it's quite useful, I guess, for certain people. Like, I don't mind. Like, I like the stuff that is at the comfort of my home as well as seeing people in person in a different environment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess the, like, being in the comfort of my home and getting information that way is, I guess there's no time wasted in a way. Like,
you
don't have to travel to the location.
Yeah, I think the benefits are becoming more apparent to people as opposed, like, right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have thought about it, but, you know, the kind of Zoom webinar kind of thing, that effectively is just a live stream, just on Zoom.
It is a live stream. It is pretty much a live stream, except it's like a private live stream, whereas this live stream on Twitch and Instagram Lives and all that, they're just more public, that's all. Like, anyone can jump on. Yeah,
the difference is you need an invite to Zoom ones, whereas Twitch is fully public.
Yeah, that's basically the difference. And, like, I think Skill Gym from Skills of the Modern Age, they're run by Skills of the Modern Age, and they run Zoom workshops.
Yeah, that was the one that you went to recently, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the one I went to recently, they did one on how to conduct rich customer interviews. Yeah, that was really interesting. Like, they put people in breakout rooms where they would, like, we would get to communicate online and about, they'd give us, like, an activity to do. It was really interesting how they conducted the whole workshop. And obviously,
I suppose that's an interesting case of essentially two-way live stream, isn't it? Because, like,
yeah, it is two-way live stream because you got to see the viewers, but you can control whether they can talk or if they were muted.
But, like, there was one, like, I didn't go to it, but I'm assuming there was, like, one person who was kind of running it. Like, they were kind of the streamer, perhaps, and, like, you guys were viewers, but you were still viewers with video, you know?
We were viewers with video, compared to Twitch where it was just a chat name. And you just can only do text chat.
Yeah, I can't imagine a 10,000 person Twitch stream where everyone has access to video.
Yeah, that's gonna, that would crash the internet. But, but that's all right. Like, I guess that's a different, like, you know, like webinars and all that, workshops like that, is a different type of streaming service or streaming, a way to, like, do a workshop online. Because now with COVID, people are more creative with how to connect with other people and how to run things. Like, you know, I think COVID's given people the opportunity to
experiment,
work on their computer literacy and their digital literacy.
Yeah.
To do what they, like, get to where they want to be. They would have to learn a bit of that digital literacy, and so they can run workshops, or so they can do the stuff they used to do in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, I know that's a bit off-tangent streaming, but...
I mean, it's still a form of streaming. Like, again, it's just a matter of, like, what is considered a stream at this point is starting to transform. And I think, like, it's becoming more pervasive, more common, and it's changing forms. Like, I think, again, streaming not 2 years ago was primarily considered... Like a one-sided kind of communication. But, like,
yeah,
now it's saying, like, people are starting to look at it as, like, okay, you can do a stream in this way, you can do a stream in that way. It's going through a lot of transition.
Oh, my God. That's right. You can go to... You can... I feel like streaming... I mean, when you think of streaming, you think of games. Like, there's a connotation around that. And you think of lives, you think of, like, people. But essentially, they are the same thing. And you can do a stream or a live on all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I had all these ideas to do a drawing one. I had one where, you know, with drawing ones, you would connect with people who are artists as well. Or you'd connect with aspiring artists. And anyway, it's a good way to, like, have a Q&A while you draw.
Yeah.
Or, like, do a game with people.
Yeah, Twitch has an interesting history because it started out as Justin TV, which is like was a general live streaming platform, and then they got a lot of attention for like gaming, so they made Twitch like as a specific place, and then like obviously they closed Justin TV out, and then they started to change Twitch and like added in more non-gaming categories to it. So Twitch has kind of gone from like general to gaming, kind, and it's starting to swing back to general at this point. Interesting, like, pendulum of, like, I guess how they've developed as a brand, and I think how people have changed their perceptions on live streaming as well.
Yeah, that's true. People are changing their perception. Now with COVID, like, people are, I guess, more open to it. And they're also, like, people are now realizing how good it is for marketing as well in a way to connect with audience, and how it could also be relevant to what they do. Like, you can do, if you're, like, a PT, it was really helpful. I saw Joe Wicks, he's the Body Coach TV. Like, I saw him do a PE with Joe live stream on YouTube where he would exercise and do PE with kids.
Yeah.
But, and it was good. It was good marketing for him. It really got him like further down, like more popular in terms of viewership. Yeah. Because like, you know, you're exercising with the viewers. You're kind of doing fun games with kids by, like, doing, like, you know, a spin wheel thing, and you're like, what exercise will I do next? And you don't know what's going to happen. Like, it gives, like, a different vibe compared to, like, the normal videos where you just, like, you could skip ahead and be like, I know what exercise is coming up next.
Yeah.
But with this kind of thing, you're like, oh, well, I don't know what's happening next as I'm sort of watching as it happens.
Yeah.
So it's like, it really is good for any type of person. Like, even if you're doing cleaning, it's like, there's so many, like with COVID that's happened now, there's so many videos out there and streams out there, which has got this hashtag with me. So you can do clean with me where you just clean a house. Like, people will watch almost anything. It's really interesting that people would watch almost anything, because anything would appeal if they're interested in that topic. And sometimes it really is people just wanting to not feel as lonely, or wanting to, there's some satisfaction in, for me, like, I guess I'm going on a tangent, but it still is streaming.
Yeah.
For me, I enjoy watching people cook, but there's a certain aesthetic to it. Like, there's, I like watching people. Like, I don't want to camp, personally, because of all the bugs and all that, but I enjoy watching people have camping, like catch and cooks, and I enjoy watching people do like bushfire cooking and me eating while I watch it, because it's what satisfying to like watch that stuff. Or even watching streams of those kind of things where it's like, oh, you know, it feels like you're there, but you're not.
Well, all you need to do to make yourself feel a little more there is like set yourself up like a blanket tent.
It's just, it feels like you're there having secondhand experience. I don't know if that's right. Second or like 1.5 hand experience where it's like you kind of feels like you're experiencing, because you can hear like, you put your earphones in, you can hear like all the bushfire sounds and all that, and you're like, oh, it feels real, feels like I'm there, but I'm not. I'm just in the comfort of my home. But it's nice to see them. Like, it's like you're with them. I don't know.
When you do that, do you like turn the heater on and like just feel the warmth when they get like near the fire?
I'm not that.
That's what you should do. Like, commit to the connection. It's just
I should do a VR. You know what I mean? Like, have a VR of it. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's the future. Like, there's like virtual reality with streaming, and the viewers have virtual reality. I mean,
yeah. Honestly, VR live streaming, like, the more you look at it, the more I feel like that isn't out of the realm of possibility. Like, I think that provided VR becomes more popular tech, like, things can definitely go that direction.
Yeah. Yeah, true. You never know with people. It's so hard to predict what people will get into.
Yeah.
It really is, like, you could watch someone rant about something. It's just, you're there to, like...
With the amount of live streams around, there is always going to be something for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, oh, you're hanging out with them and talk. And that's kind of before streaming and all that, like, vlogs were kind of like that. You'd go on the journey with them. But, yeah, the difference was that streaming is what's happening right there and then, and it's happening in real time. So, you know, you're going along with them, depending on how much time you can spare.
Yeah.
But then it feels like you're hanging out with them. You feel, I think that's like one of the point of streaming, is it's so real. Like, you're hanging out with them. You're like, it's different to an edited video, which could be, the pace of an edited video is sometimes fast.
Yeah.
Like a David Dobrik video is very fast pace. And some other videos are like slower pace.
Yeah.
Like they cut narratives here and there, and it's very controlled with an edited video. But with a stream, it does feel very slow paced because it's happening in real time.
An edited video really needs to capture people's attention. Like, the attention span of people on YouTube is so small at this point that you can't compete without having solid pacing. But like with a live stream, it is a thing of that. I think people can go into into a live stream with an expectation of, okay, this is going to be a bit slower. Let's see what this person's about. Let's see this person's deal.
That's true. Yeah, people are more patient in a way with live streams. It was pretty slow paced, the AC&H giveaway. Every 30 minutes, she'd do a giveaway.
Yeah.
And so I can't believe I hung out. I mean, I came in halfway, but I hung out until the end of the stream because I was like, oh, I don't know, like... It's unpredictable what's going to happen as well.
I mean, you enjoy Animal Crossing, don't you, though?
Yeah, I enjoy it. And Animal Crossing is a self-paced game, same with Sims.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's fun to, like, engage with the streamer and talk to them as if you were... Because they're talking back to you in a way, like, when you put something in the chat, they'll respond to that. That's how it's like for, like, small streams.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's really, I don't know, it's, I can't believe I stayed on for that long, because it felt, you just don't know what was going to happen, and you kind of wanted to see if, like, even though the next giveaway was in 30 minutes, you wanted to just stay with the stream because of the ambience and the, like, community ambience in a way. It was just, what are people going to talk about now? I don't know, sometimes... It's like a party. You know what I mean? A party. Yeah. Like, oh, what's going to happen next in the party? Or I'm just enjoying this party ambience, and like, I can just go to the bathroom however I like, or I can just do whatever I need. I'll get food and come back, but it's still, like, I want to keep it on because, I don't know, there's an ambience here and I'm, like, enjoying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's sometimes what a stream feels like, is just that hangout that you can be able to retreat to. And now with, like, so many people streaming, there's so many different groups and, like, tribes, I'd say, where you can just go and hang out with them or go and learn. All those little things, like, they help. They kind of... They've got all these different purposes, and it depends on what you want as a viewer. And also, I guess, what you're putting out is the same, too. Like, you can make a community, or you can just put yourself out there. When you do have a community, it's really nice because it's like that's your people.
Yeah.
Your people that supports you. Well, what streams do you guys watch? It would be really interesting to know. And if you guys start streaming, what streams would you do? Like, what kind of streams? You know, throw it out there.
I mean, there's a good selection.
So you can find us on Instagram, Facebook. You can even find me and Sean on Twitch.
Yeah.
But you can find Plus 4 Creative on Instagram and Facebook at Plus 4 Creative AU. And you can check us out on our website, www.plus4creative.com.au. If you want to check out mine or Sean's Twitch, mine is twitch.tv/somechoppy. We'll put that in the episode notes. What about you, Sean?
What's my Sean? twitch.tv/theSeanacorn.
The Seanacorn. So feel free to check us out if you're interested in, like, seeing us stream.
I don't stream as often recently, but, you know, I might get back into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth it, you know. Try and stream, like, see how you feel as well. And do it for yourself. Like, when you first do it, don't expect too much. Keep an open mind. People enjoy anything. So, you know, important thing is you're having fun. People having fun with you is a bonus.
Definitely.
Thank you for tuning in to Pod 4 Creative's second episode, The World of Streaming. We hope you enjoyed our episode today and our chat. And we'll see you next time.